Random art tips and rambles with Rafi.
Hola, you amazing artist. It's Rafi.
And Klee.
Welcome to the Artist Tips Podcast. Today I want to cover one of the questions that I asked in a poll last month, which was, what are you most afraid of in your art career?
Yeah, we got some awesome responses from you guys, and we thank you for your participation in our poll.
Yeah, you guys are so freaking awesome. So I'd listed five things to see what it was that you were most afraid of. One of them was rejection of my art. Two, having my art copied. Three, people not believing in me. Four, being taken advantage of. And five, failure. The one that got the most was rejection of my art. The second one was failure. According to this poll, most people are afraid of having their work rejected or failing at their art career.
What's yours?
So when I look at this list, I've dealt with rejection of my art. I've dealt with people copying my art. I've dealt with people not believing in me all throughout my life growing up. I've also dealt with people trying to take advantage of me, and I've definitely dealt with failure. So I would say before I had to actually face these were all topics that I was afraid of.
Yeah, I would say the same. I would land on failure, and the reason is that failure is such this ambiguous term. Like, what does it even mean? It's like this looming doom cloud, and nobody can quite define it, but it's this thing that could happen to you.
Yeah, yeah. Even people that ask, like, oh, well, aren't you afraid of failing? It's like, well, yeah.
Yeah, and then I'll be out in the street, and all my things will be on fire.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I guess the reason that I'm not afraid of failing is because I understand that there is really only one way to fail. The way to fail would be if you quit at something that you want to do. If you are willing to try something or go for something, and you are willing to spend your entire life trying to get there, there is no way of failing.
Yeah, because even if it crumbles under your very feet, you can rebuild.
Yeah, exactly. You're not done. You're just because something didn't work out, or you tried something 100 times and it didn't work out those 100 times, as long as you don't give up, there's no way that you could fail. And there's a testament to that with so many people in the past that have tried things over and over and over, and they are celebrated for their successes, but a lot of people don't realize how many times those people had to fail before they actually got to that success.
Yeah, and we're starting to see more and more, especially in this time, that the ones that really achieved tremendous success are also the ones that had major failures.
Yeah, yeah.
Major.
They're the 20-year overnight success, as
yeah,
a lot of them like to call themselves. I would say if I did have a fear, maybe not the fear of being taken advantage of, but the fear of missing an opportunity. I'm still working that one out in my brain. The idea that, like, oh, I should have done this, and, you know, this would have happened. I would have been much more successful than I am. I do understand that is like a loophole into failure. It's almost like, well, I didn't do this thing, so I did fail because I didn't do this thing. So it's I guess it would be my brain trying to make it okay to feel bad about missing out on an opportunity that is completely imaginary anyway. Like, I didn't experience it. I don't know how that's going to work out.
Yeah, it could have been great or it could have been epically bad. Either way, it's shooting on yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I am shooting all over myself. Yeah. Okay, so along with that poll, a lot of you guys left some questions for us, and we're going to take the opportunity to read these questions and see if we have some answers for you. Christopher Dahl, these might be subcategories of failure, but there's two things that keep me up at night when I consider myself a full-time artist. A, making enough money for house, food, and health insurance. The last one being the scariest subject, getting health insurance for my family as a working artist. Yeah, money can be the thing that keeps you up at night. Money is the thing that you could easily worry about. In fact, we talked a little about that in our newsletter this month.
Money can make you feel like your soul is being crushed and your creativity if you're worried about not having enough of it to support yourself or your family.
As an artist, you are running your own business and you don't have that what a lot of people call luxury. I don't consider it a luxury, but you don't have that luxury of getting a paycheck every week, even though in my mind, that's still an illusion because a company could easily lay you off or fire you and pull the rug right out from under your feet. But when it comes to art, you don't have guaranteed sales every week. Essentially, you have to plan ahead. And we just got out of a pretty dry spell here where we weren't really selling like crazy.
Much of anything.
Yeah.
And I came out of what I would call a death spiral of poverty mentality that I had to emotionally work through, because sometimes things get real when it comes to money and bills need to be paid and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. But along with not having the luxury of a paycheck, you also don't have any cap on the potential for income and how to bring in income.
Exactly. The thing about it is that when you get into a place in your mind where you're worried about money, where you're worried about how much money is going to come in, it's hard to get creative about making money from that place. In other words, if you are worried about money, you are taking yourself outside of a creative place where you can think about other ways of making income with what you do, getting creative maybe about your marketing or having a sale. You basically, when you run into that place where you worry about money, you go for all the standard things. You go for, like, I'm going to run a sale on my shop and I'm going to post some pictures of this. And essentially everything that you do is kind of laced with this desperate energy, you know, this desperate mood to it. Like, you really, really have to sell something. And then when that doesn't work out because it's not being genuine, you go even further down into the downward spiral.
Yeah, it can be really problematic. What I've had to do to snap myself out of that place is to say, just for right now, I wash my hands of worrying about this. I don't care. Right at this very moment, there's food in the cupboard and bills are currently paid and I have a house to live in and my car is still my car. So right this second, I'm okay. It could all fall apart tomorrow, but I wash my hands of it right now.
Yeah, yeah. And as far as health insurance, I mean, I could go off on a completely different tangent about the state of health insurance in our country and stuff, but I am not going there because I could easily take myself out of a good place by talking about how much hospitals mark up their prices and how insurance companies are, that's just complete and utter bullcrap.
Yeah, so, perhaps that will be a podcast for another time or never.
Yeah,
Who knows?
I don't know if I ever want to really get into that because that's a sore subject for me. I think things will change at some point. At least that's what keeps me positive. I know that right now I am in good health. You are in good health. And if we need to go to the hospital, we will figure it out when it happens.
Yeah, and try not to let stress about money put you in a state of poor health.
Yeah, exactly. Stressing out about health insurance is probably the reason why I would need health insurance. So
I would like to say also, we've been doing this for almost 10 years. Oh, you've been doing this longer than 10 years. I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary of not having a day job, if you will. And sometimes it's looked really bad with money. Sometimes it's looked really scary. Like, I need to come up with this money ASAP, and I don't know if it's going to work out or not. And not one time in my 10 years did it not work out. I have always come through to the other side. I've always been okay. And so there is a measure of trust in myself when it comes to money.
Yeah.
That it's going to work out.
And you have to. You have to. I mean, and don't get me wrong, if you want to get a part-time job because you're afraid of supplementing, and that's your prerogative. But for me personally, I made a vow with myself that I would never go and work for anyone else, that I would always work for myself, and that I would figure it out no matter what. And so I got into the mentality that, hey, if you drop me in the middle of a jungle, come back a week later, and I'll have built a house. That's where my mind is. That's how confident I am in my abilities to be able to pull through. And yeah, over the last 10 or so years, things have been difficult. Things have gotten really, really hard at points in time where there's a choice to be made. Either A, I give this up, or B, I figure out what I'm going to do next. I you know, stomp my foot down. I decide, make a decision. I don't sit around feeling sorry for myself. I just move forward, and I'm not going to sit there and allow myself to stress out and worry about not having enough money, and instead maybe put all my focus into, okay, well, let's figure this out. How can I do this? Because in all honesty, if you're still breathing, then you're successful. That's plain and simple.
And if you're still breathing, then you still got some resources to work with.
Exactly. I don't know if that's naive or not, but I know that I've been doing this for over 10 years, and it's always worked out for me. I've always been able to figure it out. I've never had the luxury of being able to count on, you know, outside money coming in or having to borrow money. It's always worked out in one way, shape, or form. So that's my perspective. That's where I'm coming from. So the other one, B, from Christopher Dahl, is not finishing commissions. I'm terrible at procrastination, especially when it comes to competing priorities in the way of finishing projects. You know, when it comes down to it, it's easy to sit there and worry about not finishing a commission. But when the deadline hits, there is that moment where it almost seems like time just expands or slows down or whatever it is that happens in order for you to get that commission done when it needs to get done.
Yeah, you're a pro at that warping time and space to get things done.
Yeah, there are times, I'm not going to say that I don't procrastinate, because there have been times where I just don't feel like working on a certain project and I work on something else. But when it comes down to it, if I, somewhere in my mind, if I know that I need definitely 2 days to get that project done, then on those 2 days, that's what I'm working on. I usually schedule a pickup with my customer for the commission or a date that I'm going to be setting it out. And in order for that to change, I actually have to contact that person and tell them that I need to do a date change. And I have done a few date changes, but they're rare. And when I do a date change, then right after I do the date change, my there's a fire under my butt to get that thing done.
I personally find myself procrastinating when I'm either A, afraid because I don't know exactly how I'm going to do what I'm supposed to be doing, or B, I'm not totally sure on the design concept and I'm kind of wishy-washy about how the end result is going to look. And in either case, if I can just talk myself into sitting down and getting started on one thing, just do this one thing and then go from there.
Yeah.
And then I get excited when that one thing is done. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I can just do the next thing. And it's all trial and error. And eventually it gets done.
That's my approach to pieces, is I just work on them. And that's why I work on several pieces at once, because that way I could at least get started on it. And that's the most important thing to not procrastinate, is to just at least get started on it some way, shape, or form. Sometimes getting started on it is me just grabbing my canvas and putting it on the easel.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, I'm done for today.
My equivalent is like, I'm just going to take this piece of wire and cut it to the length I need and set it on my bench.
Yeah, exactly. Just get it started. Whatever small step you need to take, just get it started. Donna says, my biggest fear isn't on here. You already covered it. My husband and my best friend both never give me any real feedback on my art. They're like, that's nice. Not a happy that's nice. Just makes me feel like they're only saying it so I'd put it away. The funny thing is that I don't care what strangers think about my art, but it hurts when friends and family seem to just not even care enough to say that it's great or that it's crap. I would say that would fall under feeling like somebody's not supportive of your art. I like to play around with Klee when she's working on jewelry. I'm like, oh yeah, your little jewelry career, you know, because I know that there's people out there that they love you, but they just don't take what you're doing serious because they don't understand it.
Yeah, they just don't get it. And also there's this thing with family where they just think that they know you. And they think they have you all figured out and they have you niched and you are who you are. And they're just not all that moved in any direction by what you're doing. And it's not really their fault that they don't get it.
They don't get it. They don't know how to react. They don't know how to respond. And unfortunately, there is no way to get them to. I would say, though, Donna, that if you were able to emotionally be okay with this, then really, truly, no one out there, no kind of rejection, no kind of anything will ever get to you. Whenever you're experiencing something the same way that I was experiencing it with my father. So my father would look at my pieces and just be like, yeah, you know, and not even look at it like, oh, that's, you know, it'd basically be the same thing. Like, yeah, that's nice. But you could tell that there was like nothing behind it. And what I realized was that if that was hurting me, it meant that there was a button within me when it came to my art that could be pushed, not only by my father, but by anybody if the circumstance was similar. In getting over that, in getting to a place where I felt confident and I was okay with whatever answer my father gave me, it just made me that much stronger when it came to anyone else out there that might be rejecting my art or overlooking my art. It makes you stronger. And the irony of it is that now at this point, there are times where Dad overlooks my art and is like, you know, no big deal, you know, when he does come over. And then there are times where he comes over and he thinks that they're absolutely beautiful. And the difference is that even though he was doing the same thing back then, I only really listened to the fact that he was just kind of overlooking the art. Now, because I'm over it, I could tell that there's every once in a while where he really, really likes something. And then there are times where he's just saying that's nice because maybe he doesn't want to hurt my feelings. But essentially, he doesn't understand the art, or he doesn't get it, or it's just not something that he likes. That's my advice. And obviously that story had a lot more to do with me and my situation. But I think that we can relate in that particular situation.
Yeah, I think for most people, they're probably coming from a place of like, they're just not maybe art-focused people. They just don't really delve into the emotional side of the art. And so their reactions are kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Shauna says, I have the fear of not being good enough and rejection, but I think the fear that hovers over everything else in my art is that I am not creative or original. I am self-taught through tutorials and a lot of trial and error. I guess this would be considered fear of not finding my own style or voice. I could understand being afraid of that. That was one of the things that I was afraid of, especially in the beginning when I started to sell my art, because I was concerned with the fact that maybe I wasn't original. Because when you're self-taught and when you're learning a lot of things, especially when you're learning new techniques, the easiest way is to try and do something that's similar to something that you like. What I would say is that little by little, you will start to grab little pieces of technique here, little things there, things that you really enjoy out of all the different things that you do, and that will become your voice. Essentially, you are working on pieces because there's something about that particular style or the way that that art looks that you personally like, and there's going to be an amalgamation of pieces that come from everywhere, and little by little you will be getting your style in there. And it's okay to claim whatever style it is that you have now and understand that it's just going to keep evolving and evolving and evolving. If it's something that you're creating because you love to create it, not because you're trying to look like someone else, then already that's your style. Maybe it's not as refined yet, but that is your style.
I couldn't have said it better. There's nothing wrong at all with emulating works that you like. In fact, that's how the masters were taught since art began. You emulate the work that you like, and you develop your own techniques and styles slowly over time.
Everybody gets started somewhere. You get started somewhere. You're not just, even though a lot of people are like, oh, you're born with this natural talent. No, you just started drawing or painting at a very early age, and it was something that you enjoyed doing. And so because you enjoyed doing it, you did it more and more and more. And the more you do something, the more you start to develop your style and your voice, and you get better at it. That's one of the reasons that my main advice is just create. Just create what you got to create. Get out of your head and just create. Finally, we have Tracy Moore, definitely failure. I am awesome at failure since I've failed so many times in my life. It's just that I'm bad at reacting to it, which is why I have usually in the past not really tried or half assessed things. Since I have put so much effort recently into trying to sell my crappy paintings, my anxiety has been kicking into high gear due to worrying about failing. Oh well, c'est la vie. Yeah, Tracy. That's going to happen, especially when you're doing something that is outside of your comfort zone. It's a big step. You know, you're putting your stuff out there. I am going to totally celebrate you for putting, even though you call them your crappy paintings out there, you are putting them out there. And the anxiety, the fear of failure sometimes is a band-aid for the fear of putting yourself out there. It is easier to just kind of half-ass do something because you're afraid that you're going to fail than to jump in with both feet. Because chances are, especially with something like this, maybe people won't like it. Maybe you'll get rejected. It is all the fears that are on that list that cause you to say that you're going to fail. In taking that step outside of your comfort zone and putting your stuff out there, it gives you the opportunity to face these fears one by one. Because there's one thing that I'll tell you, the moment that you decide to take your art career into the next level or wherever it is, if you haven't been showing your art, to put your art out there, you are going to face every single fear that you're afraid of, everything that you are afraid that to come to pass, like somebody criticizing your work, even to the point of somebody saying something specific to you, it's going to happen. And what it is your opportunity to face that fear instead of, you know, it's either going to happen and you're going to run away crying, flailing your arms, or you're going to understand that it's an opportunity to face that fear. Here it is in front of me. Okay. It's not that bad.
Yeah, when we started showing our crappy art and crappy jewelry at the flea market, we got all the different responses from people.
Oh, yeah.
And we faced all those things. And then one day, respectively for each of us, we realized our stuff is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty proud of myself.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that I tell people, like, if you have not shown your art and you don't have any opportunities and you're afraid to not show your art at the flea market. Because let me tell you, the flea market is not an artiste venue. It is a place where people are raw and people are going to tell you what they think. And a lot of times these are not like-minded people. You're going to be told things like, that ain't nothing but paint on wood. And then if you make friends with the other flea market vendors, then the flea market vendor behind you is going to say, yeah, but so's your house. You know, it's great. It's great. You get to face rejection and face somebody standing up for you at the same time.
Yeah, and hopefully come away from it laughing like we did. I mean, sometimes people are just downright rude, and that's their prerogative.
Tracy, remember what I said earlier. Fear of failure is understanding what it really is. Failure is when you give up. When you run into a roadblock and you just give up. So essentially, fear of failure is fear that you don't have it in you. And so you have to decide for yourself, like, you know what? I do have it in me. I bring it on. Any obstacle, anything that comes my way, I can get through this. I will keep moving forward. I will keep going. You have to decide for yourself that you are not willing to give up, that you are not willing to let anybody's criticism bring you down, that you are willing to just keep going despite what everybody is telling you, whether or not everybody is supportive or if you are surrounded by people that are not supportive of you. You have to make a choice for yourself that no matter what, you are going to keep pushing through. Even if failure is staring at you in the face, even if it seems like this obstacle is coming up, you just keep moving forward. And that's why I'm not afraid of failure, because failure cannot touch me. And that's it, you guys. I know that we ran a little bit long today, but hopefully you guys got a lot out of this podcast. We will be back next month with the Artist Podcast on the 8th, and we will talk to you then. Thank you so much for listening, you guys. You guys are absolutely amazing. I totally adore you. And that's it. Say goodbye, Klee.
Good day.
Adios. Total awesomeness.